Okay, so for ages, right, the picture of a scientist was basically detached, the white lab coat, very objective, very cold.
Exactly. Emotion was seen as basically noise, something that just messes up the data.
A dangerous contaminant,
Yeah.
really.
Keep the observer separate from the observed. But, well, the sources we're digging into today really flip that idea on its head. We're looking at something called scientific empathy. It's this disciplined way of connecting with what you're studying.
Not just connecting, but using that connection as an actual tool for discovery.
Precisely. It's not about getting sentimental. It's about getting inside the subject, sort of becoming one with the object of research to spark new ideas, new hypotheses.
In that creative phase, the context of discovery.
Exactly. And you almost have to start with Jane Goodall.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Gombe, 1960.
Right. And Louis Leakey famously picked her because she didn't have formal training. He wanted that open mind.
And boy, did she run with it. She basically ignored the standard protocols, didn't she?
Totally. They called them ethological sins back then. The biggest one, namely the chimpanzees.
Instead of just numbering them, like David Greybeard, Flo.
Yeah. Which sounds maybe, I don't know, anthropomorphic, like projecting human stuff onto them.
That was the criticism, for sure. But her point, or what came out of it, was that naming them treated them as individuals, not just, data points.
And that deep immersion, seeing them as individuals with lives and relationships.
Like long-term mother-infant bonds, alliances shifting.
That's what let her see things others missed, which led directly to the big one.
The tool use, David Greybeard.
In 1960, yeah.
Yeah.
Watching him carefully strip leaves off a twig to fish for termites. It wasn't some detached observation of tool behavior. It was watching him.
And Leakey's reaction says it all. Now we must redefine tool, redefine man, or accept chimpanzees as human. It's huge.
It shows the empathy wasn't bias. It was the instrument that got her to that objective truth. It even let her see their darker side later, like the violence and warfare.
Okay, so Goodall is a powerful example, but is it just like an animal behavior thing?
Well, no, and that's what's fascinating. This pattern shows up elsewhere. Take Barbara McClintock, the geneticist, Nobel Prize winner.
Right, with the maize, the corn
The
plants.
biographer talks about her feeling for the organism. McClintock herself said she had to let the material tell you what to do.
That close connection helped her see the jumping genes, transposable elements way before others did.
Decades before, it required this really deep, almost intuitive understanding of the organism.
And Oliver Sacks in neurology.
Ah, yes, his romantic neurology. He was all about finding the I within the clinical it, looking beyond the disease label.
Focusing on the person's story, their experience, like in Witty Tissie Rae.
Exactly. Using their narrative, their lived experience, not just the diagnosis, to gain these profound insights. He wanted to understand the person with the disease.
Okay, but we need to address the pushback here because people like Paul Bloom argue empathy is actually bad for judgment.
Right, the critique is strong. Bloom says it's biased, it's irrational. He points to the identifiable victim effect. We feel strongly for one known person, but make bad policy decisions for the many we don't know.
That makes sense. You feel for the one kid stuck down the well, not the statistics.
Exactly. But the key here, and this is crucial, is that critics often mix up two types of empathy. There's affective empathy that's feeling with someone, the emotional contagion. That's the risky one for judgment.
Feeling their pain or joy.
Yeah. But then there's cognitive empathy. That's what Goodall and McClintock seem to be using. It's more like disciplined perspective taking.
Like trying on their glasses, seeing the world from their viewpoint.
Precisely. The goal isn't to feel for the chimp or the corn plant or even the patient in Sack's case, not in an emotional way. The goal is to understand their system, their logic from the inside out.
To generate better questions, better hypotheses.
Exactly. So objectivity isn't about distance. It's about rigorous immersion, deep understanding through connection.
So the big takeaway then, it's about integrating, not separating. Like Goodall said, letting the clever brain and our human heart work together in harmony.
Beautifully put. And, this isn't just history, it's playing out now. Think about medical training. Empathy skills are now seen as vital for better diagnosis.
Getting the patient's perspective.
And in conservation, there's this growing idea of ecological empathy, trying to understand ecosystems on their own terms to protect them better.
So for you listening, maybe the most interesting questions pop up when you really try to step outside your own assumptions and see something, anything as a system working on its own logic.
Yeah. Look at it on its own terms. That's where the real insights might be hiding.